And His mercy endures forever. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Good to have Heather Hindy with us tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm not sure why she's here, but we're glad she's here. Because I know I was texting back and forth with Daniel just yesterday, I think, and he was telling me these guys were going to be around for the 4th of July. And so we look forward to that. We'll get to see them twice. Amen. Praise God. You are coming back with him, aren't you? Okay, good. Hallelujah. So it's good to see you. Amen. Praise God forevermore. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. I said, the Lord is good. I was thinking about we'll see Him face to face. You know, we can know Him now, but to me, that's more of a song about, you know, heaven's a real place. Heaven's a real place. And Kathy Meek's funeral, you know, brother, you could watch that online. You can still go to Lynn and Kathy Meek Ministries and watch that whole service. And Brother Copeland was one of the speakers, really the main speaker, and he was talking about a guy, I forget his name, Bob Weiss or something, and I think he'd been the pilot for Brother Oral Roberts, and he said when he left his body, you know, he just hit heaven running. I mean, he's not even really aware that he's out of his body. We're so afraid of him, but he doesn't even really know he's out of his body. And he says it's a glorious place and a wonderful place, and because his wife, I forget her name, she said, she was telling Brother Copeland, she said, he's going toward heaven, running toward heaven, the gates, you know, he's running. And all of a sudden he hears the name of Jesus being called, and he goes back into his body. And she said, do you know what he said to me? Do you think he was happy that I called him back into his body? He said, what in the world did you do that for? Heaven's a real place. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Amen. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the church at Philippi, of course, was a real place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philippians 1:27. I want to talk to you tonight about faithfully serving with a spirit of excellence. All three of those words, those main words are important. Faithfulness, serving, and excellence. Faithfully serving in life. And in whatever God's called you to do, faithfully serving with a spirit of excellence. And Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct. Now the King James Bible says your conversation. And really, I think in years past, people didn't really know what that meant. But the word conversation, found many times in the New Testament in the Greek, means your behavior, your conduct. And so the New King James says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit, writing to the whole church, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Glory to God. So the first part of that is what I really want to focus on. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, this word translated conduct literally means to be a good citizen. Are to conduct yourself as a proper citizen. See, you and I are citizens in the kingdom of God. Amen. So Paul by the Spirit, in other words, this isn't just Paul writing a letter to the Philippian church. This is God talking to me. This is God talking to you. The Bible is God talking to you. Can you say amen? Amen. So God is talking to us through Paul by the Spirit, and He's telling us today to behave and live in such a manner that is appropriate, that is becoming, that is proper, and suitable as citizens of the kingdom of God. Well, is it necessary to say this? Obviously it is, or he wouldn't have said it. So it's necessary to instruct Christians to let their conduct be worthy. Amen. You know, the Bible says as Christians, we're temples of the living God. Glory to God. God doesn't live in man-made temples. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and we are the temple of God. God lives in us. Everybody say that. Say, God lives in me. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You may be a wonderful mother. You may be a wonderful father. You may be a wonderful husband, a wonderful wife, wonderful mother. Wonderful. But the most important thing you are is you are a son of God or you are a daughter of God. And then, of course, you know, in the New Testament, you know, we're sons and daughters. We literally belong in the family of God. Our sins have been wiped out. But you know, we are servants by choice. Amen. Servants by choice. We are love slaves. We serve God because we willingly want to. So we are sons and daughters and servants of the Most High God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And our attitudes and our actions and our speech and our behavior should always reflect that. Always, always, always. If somebody were made ambassador, you know, of the United States to Italy or to Russia or to, you know, Brazil or wherever, you know, if it meant anything to you, and it certainly has in years past, things are a little different today, but if it meant anything to you as a representative of this country, it would affect your conduct. It would affect the way you behaved. It would affect the way you'd act in a very becoming way, and you'd never do anything in an unbecoming way. Praise God, because you are a representative, an ambassador of this nation, and you'd want to conduct yourself in a way that was befitting of your country and the position you have. Well, the Bible says that you and I are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, as servants of the Most High God, we are ambassadors in the earth for Him. We are His temple in the earth. We are citizens in His kingdom. And again, I promise you that if you let Him, the moment you were born again, the Spirit of God will begin to help you, amen, and empower you to live a life that is befitting and worthy of your calling. If you'll let Him. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will make you a godly representative of the kingdom of God. Now, you don't have to allow Him. You don't have to let Him, but He will, and He wants to. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, I'm begging you, I'm imploring you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. Well, that means you can walk in an unworthy way. But the Bible tells us to walk worthy of the calling to which we were called. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But we don't have to listen to the Spirit. We don't have to obey His workings and His leadings. But if we do, He'll change any wrong attitudes in our life. Aren't you glad He changed some wrong attitudes in your life? I am. I mean, I had attitudes I didn't even know were wrong. Glory to God. And He'll make us a better husband. He'll make us a better wife. He'll make us a better parent. He'll make us a better employee. He'll make us a better boss. He'll make us a better person. He'll make us a better citizen. Glory to God. He'll make us a better student. He'll help us and change things that are inappropriate to our high calling. Glory to God. Amen. To things that are appropriate. Glory to God. So His influence in our lives, if we will let it, if we'll let the life of God that's on the inside of us rise up and obey the leadings of the Spirit of God and obey the Word of God, then it'll affect our attitudes, it'll affect our speech, it'll affect our conduct, it'll affect even our dress and where we go and where we don't go. You know, as a Christian, there's some places you should go and there's some places you shouldn't go. How many of you can say amen? There's some things you can watch. And I'm not talking about religious nonsense and do's and don'ts, but I'm talking about the Holy Ghost cleaning you up and making you the person that you ought to be and can be and should be. Glory to God. So what I want to do is let me share with you three things that the Spirit wants to develop in all of us. There are other things, but along these lines, three specific things that the Spirit of God wants to develop in all of us. And the first one is this, a spirit of excellence. A spirit of excellence. Praise God. Excellence is the state of being superior. It means being very good. It means first class, as opposed to just getting by. You don't want to just get by in life. The Spirit of God will not lead you to get by on your job. He will not lead you just to get by, to be sloppy. How many of you know the Word of God has a lot to say about slothfulness? It has a lot to say about diligence. What are those scriptures important? Are those scriptures in the Bible? Should we obey those scriptures? Yes, praise God. And so, you know, I know way, way back when they were building our house. If you don't know, when our house was built, you know, there were people that gave money to it. And a lot of people at the church, they were skilled laborers. They were electricians. They were carpenters. There were people that knew how to do various things. So a lot of them volunteered their time and they worked on the house, you know. And so, you know, when we built our house, we only had about $45,000 because the rest of it had been... the money had come in and people had worked on it for free. So that was a tremendous blessing. I mean, in today's economy, you know, it's a $425,000 home. And so that was a tremendous blessing. Well, we used to have Jack and Sharon Murdoch. They used to come to church here. And I don't know, how many of you remember Jack and Sharon? wonderful couple, glory to God. And Sharon was one of the most powerful people I've ever known on a local level or on a national level as far as being used in the utterance gifts, tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. I mean, she was, the Spirit of God would come on her and she'd give an utterance in the Spirit, and it was very powerful. Again, I've never seen anybody more used in an accurate way and be more of a blessing, even on a national level. And Jack was a good man. He went home to be with the Lord just a couple of years ago. But Jack was an electrician, and he told me this. Now, I don't know who he was talking about, but he said, we were doing some electrical stuff at your house, and he was working with somebody else that had electrical experience. You know, Jack was an electrician, but this guy had experience. And then Jack said, well, what are you doing here? And the guy was telling him, he goes, well, we shouldn't do that. And he said, it's good enough. Well, Jack never, let me tell you something. Here's where I'm going to. I'm not talking about me, because, you know, but when it comes to the Lord, I have to watch myself not to get in the flesh. Don't tell me it's good enough. Ain't nothing good enough for God. I mean, you should do things with a spirit of excellence and do your very best and give God your best. But Jack was, you know, defending, you know, not just me, but the office of the pastor and respect for the pastor's office. And he told the guy, he said, would you do that at your house? Whatever they were doing, I forgot. I think it had to do with where they were going to set something versus where you could set it somewhere else, which required more work and more effort, but it made it a whole lot more convenient, you know, with the switch and all that. And Jack said, would you do that at your house? And he goes, no, I want to do it at my house. He goes, well, we're not going to do it at the pastor's house. And so he made sure they did it the right way, you know. Praise God. Well, excellence is a state of it's the opposite of just getting by. It's the opposite of being slothful. It's the opposite of not being industrious. You know, the Bible promises promotion and to those that are industrious. It promises promotion to those that are diligent. Praise God. And those that are faithful. How many of you know that? Godly character does everything with the spirit of excellence. If we have an attitude, toward our housework, our job, our business, spiritual things, our physical appearance, Sunday school class duties, ushering duties, doesn't matter what it is, praise God. If we have an attitude that says, I just do enough to get by, then we're not walking in a spirit of excellence. And I promise you that grieves the Spirit. You think if somebody goes out and gets drunk, they grieve the Spirit. It grieves the Spirit when you don't have a spirit of excellence. Amen. When you don't have conduct that's not becoming. See, that's conduct that's not becoming of us as citizens of the kingdom. A lack of excellence produces, somebody said it this way, because this doesn't sound like me, but a lack of excellence produces procrastinators, not producers. Politicians, not statesmen. Low standards, not quality. And believers, not disciples. As Christ followers, we should have a spirit of excellence. Glory to God. One man said, if an airline's food trays are dirty, you have every reason to question the engine on the wing. The spirit of excellence is polishing the back of your shoes. Just trying to make it real, amen? I got criticized one time by a girl, a lady, whatever, because of my shiny shoes. And she was trying to make a, I know you're shaking your head, that's what I did. She was trying to make a reference to, you buy those expensive shoes. No, in reality, at that particular time, you know, I brought a pair of floor shimes that cost $79 or $89. You could buy $200 shoes, you could buy $300 shoes, and expensive shoes back in those days would be $600 or $800. Mine were just, you know, they weren't pick and pay $29 shoes, but they were just, you know, they were just regular shoes you'd buy at a department store. I just polished them. And I thought, well, I kind of just took it as a compliment for my shiny shoes, amen. You wear them more shiny. Yeah, they're shiny because I spend time polishing them. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Is this all right? I know this is different, but is this all right? One man said, people who walk in excellence pay attention to the little details. Little things make a big difference. Praise God. So you need to, I know they taught me this back in Bible school. You know, Brother Hagin said that in the, you know, he's probably talking about the Assemblies of God. He could have been talking about the Four Square denomination. But he said they had a superintendent, because he, Brother Hagin, if you know in his roots, he was an Assembly of God pastor. And you know, in those days, when he began to travel, he went to Assembly of God churches, Four Square churches, and Church of God churches a lot. But he said there was a man that was a supervisor, you know, over ministers, and he said, I can tell you whether that preacher's going to make it or not. He said, I don't have to go hear him preach. I don't have to go to his church. He said, I just want to go to his house, walk into his room and open up his drawer, you know, one of his chest drawers, and see if his clothes are all neatly folded and put in that drawer or if they're just crammed in there. He said, I can tell right off whether he's going to make it or not. These things sound whatever, but little things. This is a little fox, as the Bible says, that spoiled the vine. So we need to take care of what we have. Excellence is not having a $20 million sanctuary. I mean, you might meet in a barn, but keep it clean, keep it swept, keep it kept up. See? And I say that because when we started, you know, that all we've ever done is had old buildings. But you know, it doesn't have to be the, like I said, a $26 million facility, but whatever facility you have, you can make it nice and clean and swept and, you know, glory to God. Can you say amen? And that applies to all areas of life. And the simple fact of the matter is, this is almost always true. There's some other factors, but in the natural and in the spiritual, people of excellence get promoted. Proverbs 10:4 says, he who has a slack hand or a negligent hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So never have a just good enough to get by attitude, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God. Especially when it comes to the kingdom of God. Now you can't wait till everything's perfect. If I waited till I have a perfect message, you know how many messages I would have preached over the years? Zero. So some people won't sing because they can't be perfect. Well, then you're not a blessing. You know, you gotta get up and, you know, go with it. Praise God. Step out in faith. But never have a just good enough or get by attitude. That breeds mediocrity. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so listen, if you don't take care of your own stuff and dealings with excellence, Jesus said this. Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 16:12, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Amen. And when it comes to the Lord and His kingdom and His church and our service to it, glory to God, God expects us to serve with the best attitude, the finest appearance, and the highest form of service and professionalism that we can render and offer. I'm not talking about, you know, religious nonsense, but I'm just talking about we ought to give our best to God. Glory to God. And there is nothing more important than what we do for the Lord. There is nothing more important in all of life than the Lord's work. And we should all do it with excellence. Can you say amen? Amen. The second thing is that when it comes to this, the Spirit of God wants to develop in us along these lines is a servant's heart. And let's look at Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse number 35. Mark 10, 35. I saw this from one of our Rhema pastors on his Facebook, John, Craig Basler. This is really good the other day. He said, the word leader is found 6 times in the Bible. I thought, wait a minute. Servant is found 900 times in the Bible. Why do we have so many conferences on leadership and 0 conferences on servanthood? And so I read that and I said, man, that's really good. I got to plug that into my message Wednesday night that I'm working on. And so then today I got to thinking about it and said, you know, I better check this out. So I looked up the word leader in the Bible, and it's only in there 3 times. Leaders, plural, is in there 3 times. So leaders is found in the Bible 6 times. Very interesting, isn't it? The word servant is found 900 times. That's like comparing, you know, the moon to a, you know. Why do we have so many conferences on leadership and 0 conferences on servanthood? And so really what happens in the body of Christ, I like this term, what we are is we are, you know, Jesus was a servant, but he was a leader. We are servant leaders. And all of us are in authority and all of us are under authority. Amen. And there's things that we should do in our positions of authority and there's things we need to do and attitudes we need to have when we're under somebody else's authority. And like I said, all of us are in authority in some areas and all of us are under authority in other areas. And so in Mark chapter 10, verse number 35, it says, Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, that is Jesus, saying, Teacher, we want to ask you to do for us whatever we ask. You see, they knew that his time was coming short. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to die on the cross at this time. They think something's fixing to happen and he's fixing to take over. And they said, and he said, well, what is it you want me to do for you? Verse 37. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit on your right hand and the other on your left hand. I mean, when you come in your kingdom and you're up there, you know, make put one of us on your right hand in a position of power and authority and put the other of us, you know, two brothers on the left side. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you asked. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, you know, 12 apostles, the other 10, they were greatly displeased with James and John. Probably because they didn't think of it first. But Jesus called them to himself and said, many scriptures along these lines, but Jesus said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you Christ followers. My disciples, it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall become your servant. And whosoever of you desires to be first shall be servant or slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Praise God. The main Greek word translated servant in the New Testament means to wait on or to minister. You know the word minister? You know pastors are ministers. The word minister means servant. That's what it is, a servant. A minister is a servant. An apostle is a minister. He's a servant. An evangelist is a minister. He's a servant. If you go to the restaurant, what does the waiter do? They serve you. They wait on you. And that's what the main Greek word means. And even in the Bible, the primary responsibility of a servant, you know, was that word in the natural was to serve food and wait on tables. A servant was one, especially the servants of a wealthy king or ruler, the servant's job was to painstakingly attend to that person's needs and wishes and wants they were serving. Whoever they were serving, they were to painstakingly make sure that they cared for them and waited on them and took care of their needs. Ultimately, we're serving the King of Kings at his table. Praise God. How many believe we ought to be a good waiter? You ever had a bad waiter? We ought to be a good waiter. Now, this girl wasn't necessarily a bad waiter, but reminds me, she was just a not thinking at the moment waiter. Margaret said she wanted a cheeseburger with nothing on it. You know, no, in other words, no mustard, no ketchup, no condiments. And the girl said, you don't want any cheese on it? And so we just looked at her and she goes, oh. Anyway, to serve means to serve others. And the Bible teaches that we should serve God and serve one another. And I promise you that if you'll listen to the Spirit of God, He'll develop a servant's heart in you. Glory to God. Yes, He may gift you and equip you to operate in miracles, but if you listen to God, He will make you a servant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we are God's servants, and we are waiters at His table. And we should wait on Him and serve Him diligently with excellence, with dedication and commitment, and give Him our utmost attention. Whatever we do for Him, it should be done with our utmost attention. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Now, none of us are born with an overwhelming desire to serve. No, the flesh wants to be served. Glory to God. Now, some of you, because you're strong, mature Christians, you've developed so much in this that your flesh is kind of quiet in that area. But, you know, we don't have this overwhelming desire to serve. We just like others to wait on us and serve us. Isn't that right? Praise God. But the nature of our recreated human spirit, this full of love and full of God and full of life, that nature, that reborn man, that reborn woman, that nature, the new birth, the new creation, that nature is to love and to help and to self-sacrifice and to serve others. And we, whatever we do in serving others, we should do it in God's kingdom. We should do it first class with the spirit of excellence. Can you say amen? Amen. Doing the best job we can with a genuine concern for God and for those who we are serving, and nothing less is acceptable. Glory to God. It's His table we're waiting on, and nothing is more important. Now, it sounds right, and that sounds simple, but we must be willing to sacrifice to do this. You got to sacrifice time. You got to sacrifice money. It may cost you energy. You have to give up some things you want to do. You might have to give up some sleep to serve God and others faithfully. I haven't said this in a long, long time, but you've heard me say it many times. When do people need you? When they need you. Could you come and help us, you know, brothers, sister so-and-so's close family member died and we need you to help us. Now, Pastor, I usually would help, but we're busy this week. We're always too busy to serve. Would you like us to postpone his funeral because you're busy and can't, you know? No, people need you when they need you. Praise God, amen. And so we serve. We put down our flesh, amen, and we go ahead and lay down our lives so that we can be a blessing to others. Glory to God. True servants are involved in helping others. That's their purpose and their goal. They're not looking to be served. They're not demanding respect. They're not demanding adoration. They're not demanding approval of others. They, the true servants, serve with an attitude that says, I'm going to do this with a good attitude and to the best of my ability, with the highest standard and level of professionalism I can. Glory to God. Jesus and the world, for the most part, promote those kind of people to higher positions. Amen. I say amen. But even though you get promoted to a higher position, it doesn't alleviate your need to serve. You always serve. Glory to God. Matter of fact, they did studies along these lines because this is a kingdom principle. Kingdom principles, you know what I like about kingdom principles? Brother Copeland said, I noticed this about Oral Roberts. He said he used his faith like a carpenter would use his tool. You know, in the church world, we just always thought these things just happened here and happened there, and we don't know why. And he said, no, Brother Roberts would go to his toolbox, and he would pick up his faith, and he would make it work anytime he wanted it to work. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle that works for anybody that'll work it. And so all kingdom principles are like that. You know, the law of love, the law of service is a big deal. And so what happens is they found out when they did studies that you know, when the employees said, look, the reason you are here is to make a good product for the consumer, for the customer. You are here to be a blessing to them. They wouldn't necessarily use that word, but we want this product to work. We want this Ford car to work. We want you to be a blessing to them. And when the employees were told, you are here to make it easier on your workers. You're not here just to be a big shot. You're not here just to work 40 hours a week and make a lot of money and get vacation bonuses and do lousy work. No, you're here to serve. And you're here to serve the workers. And the bosses over them, you're here to serve them. They found out that companies that really operated like that, they're the ones that did better versus ones that were just out for themselves. Amen. I said amen. And so we should always serve. Now let me read you this. This is from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. This is from the Message Bible. Listen carefully. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 11, the Message. Glory to God. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ. Well, have you gotten anything at all out of following Christ? If His love has made a difference in your life. Well, His love has made a difference in our life, hasn't it? If being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, in other words, you belong to the body of Christ, if that means anything, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Now, don't watch this now. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand to others. Think of yourselves the way Christ thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, He stayed human. He was an incredibly humbling process. Amen. He lived a selfless, obedient life, then died a selfless, the worst kind of death at that, crucifixion. But because of His obedience, God lifted Him high and honored him above everyone else. I'm missing part of this. They got a commercial right there. I'm sorry. So that all created beings in heaven, in other words, He's going to have great honor. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He has honor. He has a position higher than anybody will ever have in the history, you know, throughout all eternity. And yet he was a servant and lived a selfless life. Amen. What I'm talking to you about doing is not Mickey Mouse Christianity. And it's a high standard, but you don't lose by doing things God's way. When you do things God's way, like Jesus, he didn't lose by doing things God's way. He's seated at the right hand of God in the highest position of authority for all eternity. Praise God. So glory to God. Amen. So have a servant's heart. Now, quickly, we're on part two of things the Spirit of God will do in you to help you live a life of excellence and faithful service to others. But when it comes to having a servant's heart, let me quickly give you four characteristics of a servant's heart. Number one is a genuine love and compassion for others. If you have a servant's heart, you have a genuine love and compassion for others. Love is in us, but it must be cultivated. It must be developed. It's a fruit. Fruit grows. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. And it grows. You have to let it out. If you don't let it out, it never gets out. And love always wants to help and serve others without any hidden agenda and impure motives. I hate impure motives and hidden agendas. I'm so glad that the staff we have, nobody has a hidden agenda or an impure motive. They just want to serve. They just want to help. They just want to be a blessing. And don't you get so tired of the partisan strife in politics where they just have an agenda and they have a hidden motive. Instead of just wanting to do what's right for people, they just want to promote some hidden agenda. And we all hate that, don't we? Hate is not too strong of a word. I hate it with a passion. And so you have a genuine love and compassion. Glory to God. Number two, if you have a servant's heart, you have a sacrificial spirit of giving to serve. Like I said a while ago, you must give up time, sleep, money, energy, something you want to do. You'll be inconvenienced. You'll be put out. You'll have to go out of your way and make sacrifices to give of yourself to others. But when you give of yourself, when you give, you always get back in return. Can you say amen? Amen. Number three, if you have a servant's heart, you'll defer to others. You defer to the other person. In other words, you give them preference above and beyond yourself. Here is Philippians 2 again from a little more traditional translations. We just read it in the message, just verses 3 and 4. It says, let nothing be done. This is New King James. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Yes, there's things that God has called you to do in life. You, as husbands and wives, as businessmen, you have natural duties and responsibilities. And God wants you to take care of those things with a spirit of excellence. He wants you to be diligent about your own personal business and affairs. But God says, don't just look after your own interests. Be concerned about the other person. Be concerned about their interests. Be concerned about them getting promoted. Praise God. Be glad when God uses somebody else. Be glad when God wants to promote somebody else and help them along the way. Glory to God. That's what a servant does. It defers to others. The Amplified Bible says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others as more important than ourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. Don't just do that, but also look out for the interest of others. Praise God. I tell you, when somebody really begins to think of others and put them ahead of self, that's when somebody is really, really developed into a high state of maturity as a Christian, because so few people do this. Are these isolated scriptures? We've already read some. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of the same family. Give preference to one another in honor. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one only seek his own good, but also that of the other person. Jesus said we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Then Paul and James quoted that. We should love others as ourselves. This is really what we're talking about, loving others as ourselves. Because sometimes, you know, people just kind of say, well, you know, I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking care of me and my family. God wants me to take care of me and my family. I'm just doing what's best for us. And it's kind of with an attitude of, I can't help it that it hurts you. That's not what love would do. The Bible says love does no harm to its neighbor. Romans 12 or 13? What would Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to anyone. Amen. But beyond that, love always honors the other person. It prefers the other person. It looks out for the interest of others. That's what love would do. Praise God. And it's important that we do what love would do. You know why? Because if you don't do what love would do, then you open the door to the devil, and the devil comes in to attack you. That means he's going to hurt you mentally or emotionally, or hurt your finances, or hurt your health, or hurt your family, and you don't want that, do you? Now I'm talking to I wouldn't be doing this message to an evangelistic service. I'm talking to strong believers. All right, they can take it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. And how many did I give you there? One, two, three. A fourth characteristic of those that have a servant's heart is humility. Humility. Amen. We should be willing to get on our knees and wash the feet of others. That's what a foot washing service is all about. I'm becoming your servant. I'm going to, the servants that washed other people's feet, that was the lowest of the lowest of the servant. You were a servant already. A slave already, but you were on the bottom of the totem pole if your job was to wash other people's feet. And Jesus got down on his hands and knees as their servant leader and washed their feet. And he says, no, there is no greater love than to give your life in service to others. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so number three, when it comes to, that was four characteristics, you know, of a servant's heart. So number three, when it comes to things the Spirit of God will develop in you, number three is faithfulness. Faithfulness. All of my life, going to church from many different churches, many different ministers, national TV, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Methodist churches, I've heard people quote Jesus and say, you know, Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And pastor after pastor and preacher after preacher have said, listen, the one thing I want more than anything else in life, my number one goal in life, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You all know that. You hear that at funerals. We want to hear him say that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise God. And we say that with great affection and great anticipation. But listen, Jesus will not be able to say that to us if we've been unfaithful. Ever heard anybody say that? No, they just always say, when we get to heaven, we want to hear God say, well done. Everybody goes, yes, amen. But God is not going to say to everybody, well done. He can't say that to everybody. He's not able to say that to us if we're unfaithful. So what does it mean to be faithful? Well, if we're faithful, that means we're reliable, we're dependable, we keep our word, we're careful to fulfill our promises. You know, I was thinking about that scripture today. I hadn't read it in a long time, but the scripture says, you know, Psalms 15, verse 4, it says, talking about a righteous man, says he keeps his word even to his own disadvantage and does not change it for his own benefit. You know that scripture? Amen. Praise God. We should keep our word even if it's inconvenient. We should keep our word even if a better opportunity comes along. A man, the King James, I think, swears to his own hurt. In other words, you give your word, then all of a sudden you realize, I could have got a better deal. I could have got a better job. But no, if you've given your word, even if it's going to cost you and hurt you, you go ahead and keep your word. And the summation of that psalm is this kind of person. Person that he tells other things, but the kind of person that does these kind of things will never be shaken. You talking about we don't want to be shaken? I wonder how many times people are walking in great faith, but they're not walking in some of these practical things, and they are shaken because you got to read the whole Bible. Everybody says you got to read the whole Bible. Praise God. Amen. And so we need to be reliable. We need to be dependable. We need to be careful to fulfill our promise. And we need to believe. You can believe people. It means you believe people that they will do what they tell you to do. Amen. So I was thinking about this. I hadn't looked at this in a long ways. 12 Ways to Be a Blessing to Your Church by Kate McVeigh. How many of you remember Kate McVeigh? Kate McVeigh preached here. Dynamic preacher. Well, I'm telling you, a dynamo. And she talks about, it's kind of interesting. I didn't notice this right before the service. But she talks about how she gave her word. She said, one day I was in church and the pastor was sharing with the congregation they needed the need for a new cordless microphone. That was a small congregation of less than 50 people. The pastor was leading an open discussion about how to purchase a new $1,000 microphone. Before I had time to think about it, I heard myself, I can believe God for the money to pay for that. After leaving the church that day, I thought I was going to be sick. What was I thinking? Here I was in my first year of Bible school. I didn't have enough money to pay my tuition. And now I had just committed to buying a $1,000 microphone. I got to thinking about my options. First, I thought I could just go to the pastor and tell him that I spoke out of line, that I really was really, really broke. Maybe he would release me my commitment if he understood my circumstances, and he probably would have. However, the more I thought about it, I really felt I needed to keep my word and next time think before I spoke. I ended up making monthly payments to the church for the entire year. It was a hard lesson for a young person to learn, and I really did swear to my own hurt. But I truly believe the Lord honored my commitment. As a matter of fact, and has blessed me to this day because I kept my word. As a matter of fact, several years later, a church sold $1,000 for me to buy a cordless microphone for my own ministry. A little side thought, here's what I wanted to read. She said, often when people are volunteering in church, but it doesn't matter, but she's talking about church, but it could be anything you give your word to. They may tend to think it's not important to follow through with their commitment because they're not getting paid. When people drop the ball, they often don't see how their decision affects others. One time I had a big ministry conference planned. We had been working on this conference for months so that everything would be perfect for people when they walked through the doors. We were expecting about 300 people and we wanted everything to be ministered to in a powerful way. Everyone to be ministered to in a powerful way. I hired some Christians to bring a sound system, set it up and run it for me. The week before the meeting, my office spoke with them to confirm they would be there early to set things up and work out any glitches before the meeting started. The day before our big event, I received a phone call from them saying they had changed their mind, they wouldn't be there. They didn't stop to think how their decision would affect us and the 300 people that were coming. You can't find a sound system to rent on one day's notice. Our office staff frantically called every rental place in town, and they all told us the same thing. You have to reserve a sound system in advance. Nothing is available. I don't think these people realize the undue stress they put on everyone involved. They had no real reason for not showing up other than they just didn't feel like it. Of course, we cast our cares over the Lord and prayed, but the fact of the matter is we shouldn't have had to do that just because some people didn't keep their word. Thank God a wonderful church came to my rescue and supplied the sound system, microphones, and people to run everything. God is faithful. Sometimes we don't realize what we put other people through when we don't keep our word. I'm sure these people who canceled on me had no idea what I went through trying to find a replacement. It would have been better had they never offered to help rather than have put me and my staff through that difficulty. It can be the same one when someone doesn't show up to usher or work in the nursery. This leaves others shorthanded. People are ministered to effectively. People aren't ministered to as effectively. And someone else will probably have to take your place on a moment's notice. There may be no one to take your place, which can cause all sorts of problems. We want people to be blessed, not stressed. Now listen, I realize there are times when emergencies arise and you simply cannot keep your commitment. That's different. Or once in a while, your leader may allow you to take a break. In that case, make arrangements in advance for someone else to fill in for you. Remember, people are counting on you, and the Bible says that a faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful man will abound with blessings. That's Proverbs 28:20. You ought to write that down. A faithful man will abound with blessings. I haven't said all this to make you feel bad. Maybe there are areas in which you haven't followed through, or you broke your word. If so, I encourage you to start fresh and new today. Purpose in your heart that you will become a person of integrity by keeping your word and following through with your commitments. The following scriptures are powerful promises to those who are faithful and diligent. Begin to confess these scriptures. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Is that in the Bible? Glory to God. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desires and hath nothing, but the soul of this diligent shall be made fat. In other words, you'll be richly blessed. Or as Norval Hayes would simply say, God don't bless lazy people. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentifulness, but of everyone that is hasty, only want. Amen. On and on and on these scriptures. Praise God. You know, I, as I sit here going over this, and we're through basically. You know, I think about, we know that somebody like Oral Roberts was a man of faith. We know Kenneth Hagin was a man of faith. We know that Brother Copeland's a man of faith. We know these men were, you know, Jimmy's men of faith. We know they're men of faith, men of the Word, men of the Spirit. But I tell you what they also are, And if they weren't this, you probably would never even heard of them. These are men of integrity. These are men of integrity. They're diligent men of intelligence, of integrity rather. So one last one here. Proverbs 25 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How many of you like to have a broke tooth? New Living Translation says, putting confidence in an unreliable person is like chewing with a toothache or walking on a broken foot. No fun, no good. Now listen, for me as a pastor, I wish I remembered them all. Thousands of stories of people that volunteered, that did not have to, that came through for us and blessed the kingdom and blessed others, blessed the church, thousands, thank God for it. Thank God for it. You. And we're thankful for it. You know, but I tell you, it really is an aggravation when somebody, they don't have to in the first place, but they tell you they're going to do it, especially when you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And number 4 tells you they're going to do it. They say, no, I want to do it. I want to do it. Now, if you're not going to, because you got a little bit of experience with people sometimes. Now, we can get, no, we're going to do it. And then they don't show up. And it just throws the whole process off because they were there, you know. Now, I realize we make mistakes. Sometimes we might even forget something. But I'm talking about as a lifestyle here. Amen. Glory to God. It's inappropriate and unbecoming and improper for a citizen of the kingdom of God who's in reality waiting on the Lord's table to be unfaithful. So let's remember, there's nothing more important than what we do for the Lord. Say amen. Amen. And if we follow and obey the Word and the Spirit, we'll become faithful servants who serve with the Spirit of excellence. Faithfully serving with the Spirit of excellence. If we follow the leading of the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit, we will become faithful servants, and all that means who serve with the Spirit of excellence while we're waiting on the Lord. And what we do for the Lord is of utmost importance. It helps and blesses others, and it produces great benefits for us in this life and in the life to come. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take off, John. We know you got to take care of that. Take off. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That may be asparagus. Not dessert tonight, but how many of you know you need to eat your vegetables? Besides that, I'm honestly just looking at a whole bunch of faithful people right here that do serve, that do love, and that do walk in excellence. God bless you. Thank you for it. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.